Luke chapter 17, and this morning verse 11 down through verse 19 of Luke 17. I'm entitling the message from this most interesting and well-known story in another busy day of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he must be about his Father's business. And the title of the message, 10 Lepers Healed, One Sinner Made Whole. 10 lepers were healed. One sinner was made whole. 10 men experienced reformation. One man experienced regeneration by the grace of God. Now, there are a lot of people like these 9 lepers. 9 lepers who went their way and never returned back to the Lord to give him thanks. There are a lot of people like these 9 lepers who were outwardly clean, who have outwardly reformed their life, cleaned up their act, as we used to say, have joined the church, perhaps turned over a new leaf, perhaps participated in all the religious events of the day, but have no real inward faith in Christ, no real vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ. They never glorify God by believing the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on him to the salvation of their soul, and they never truly worship the Lord. They are cleaned up. They are religious. They headed out toward the Old Testament priest. But they're never really made new in Christ. Now, there's a big difference between being most religious and being found in Christ. 9 men went their way. One man worshiped God. I want to be that one man. I want to be that one strange Samaritan, that one sinner that falls in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we find in this remarkable story that 10 lepers were cleansed of their physical disease, but only one was healed both physically and spiritually. Only one leper was made whole in his soul and in his heart. Only one sinner was made a new creature in Christ. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that? The Lord said he was. Look at verse 19. And he said to him, that is, the Lord said to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith made thee whole." He was made whole. This one sinner, this despised stranger, this despised Samaritan was given the precious gift of faith, and by faith in Christ, he was made whole. Or we can read it this way, thy faith saved thee. Same word. The same exact word is used in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved, for by grace you're made whole. Now, how did that happen? The Lord made him whole. The Lord granted him faith to lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ as his salvation, that is, of the Lord. Now, in verse 11, 12, and 13, we read in verse 11, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. I love how the Scriptures always says, and it came to pass. It came to pass because God brought it to pass. As the Lord Jesus Christ, being about his Father's business, as he went to Jerusalem. Now, this is the last time he goes to Jerusalem. And there at Jerusalem, you know what happens. How he's betrayed and how he's put to death. He went to Jerusalem. No one can turn him from it. You remember the disciples when he said, I must go to Jerusalem and I must die. You remember Peter and the others said, Lord, don't go there. Just don't go there. Don't go to Jerusalem. Don't die for us. And the Lord said, you get out of my way. I must needs go to Jerusalem. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As we read in John chapter 4, he must needs go through Samaria. There's that woman at the well that he's going to meet, cross her path, and give her that living water. And here we see in this time, and in this Samaria at this time, there is one leper whom the Lord crosses his path and justifies him by his grace, cleanses him inwardly and outwardly by his blood sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time, and there by the eternal appointment of God was going to give his life a ransom for many. There the Lord Jesus Christ was going to lay down his life for his sheep and obtain for them eternal redemption with his own blood. There at Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished the salvation of his people, and he did so by the appointment of God, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Peter said, "You have taken with wicked hands and crucified the Lord of glory." The Lord Jesus Christ stayed on Calvary's tree when it was all done, when his blood was completely run out of his body. He said, "It is finished. Salvation is accomplished." In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that were under that law. But while he was on his way to Jerusalem, remember, his face was fixed like a flint. No one could turn him away from that appointed hour. He said, "My hour is now come." While he was on his way to Jerusalem, he passes through Samaria. A lot of the self-righteous Pharisees and the Jews normally avoided this region because the Samaritans and that history of the past being a half-breed race and not true Jews. These people of Samaria intermarried with the Syrians when the 10 northern tribes were carried away into captivity. And the tribe of Judah in the south, they despised the Samaritans because they weren't true-blooded Jews. But the Lord Jesus Christ had one of his elect there in Samaria that he must meet, that he must save, just like he saved that woman at the well. Now, look at verse 12 and verse 13. "And as he entered into a certain village," we don't know the name of the village, we don't know the name of the man, but the Lord was waiting on this man. "There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." They were shut out of society, could not go to the temple. They were shut out of the city. They usually dwelt in certain villages with all the other lepers. And when they ventured out of their city of leprosy, they were to cry out and stand afar off. They were to cry out, "Unclean and unclean." But here we see the Lord Jesus Christ is merciful to those men who seek him. And as he entered in, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, now notice this, "Jesus, Master," they referred to him as Master, "have mercy on us." Now what's going to happen? They called upon the Lord who is merciful. "Have mercy upon us." And all these 10 men were healed. And when he said, verse 14, "And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Now leprosy is a dreadful, dreadful disease. "And the Lord showed them mercy." The Lord is merciful to those who seek him. We never read one time in Scripture that the Lord ever turned away a needy beggar. Turn back to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 verse 11. You remember this verse here? John 9, 11. "And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had need of healing." Luke 9 verse 11. "He healed them that had need of healing." These 10 lepers, they came to the Lord with a need. They cried out to the Lord in their need, and their need was met. We never read not one time where the Lord ever turned away a mercy beggar. That ought to encourage every one of us to come unto the Lord that we might find grace and mercy to help in the time of our need. These 10 lepers knew their need. They also knew the only one that could heal them of this terminal disease of leprosy was the Lord Jesus Christ. They have heard that the Lord had healed other lepers. Turn back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. There was a story of another leper who came. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when the Lord was come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper. Here's another man. He came to the Lord with his need, and he came and he worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Here's a man who came to the Lord with his need, worshiping the Lord, and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And he was made whole. Now, what can we learn from this? We, like these 10 lepers, have a terminal, dreadful disease called S-I-N. Sinners. We are sinners. I'm not talking about what we've done. I'm talking about what we are. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. What we are right now before God in our flesh. We are spiritual lepers. As there is none good, no, not one. Let's turn and read that. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 3 and stay right here in the book of Romans for just a moment. We have that dreadful disease called S-I-N, and it's terminal. We're all terminal. The end of this flesh is death. We're all terminal. Romans 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. This is talking about you. It's talking about me. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, because their heart is depraved. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What a miserable condition all humanity is in. We indeed are totally, totally depraved. Now stay right here in Romans chapter 3. I'll be right back here in a moment. The law of God could not do anything for those 10 lepers. When they went to the priest of God, all the priest could do is pronounce them unclean. He could not do anything to cleanse them. The priest could only pronounce and identify the problem. He could not remove the disease. The only remedy for our sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the same problem. The law of God cannot remove our sin. Now look right back at Romans 3, verse 19. Now, we know things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, Romans 3, 19, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Guilty. That's all of us. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. No lepers cleansed by the deeds of the law shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law of God identified, yeah, you're a leper. That's all I can do is identify the problem. But now, here's the good news of the gospel. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way this leper can be made whole. The only way that this sinner can be justified is through the Lord Jesus Christ and his redeeming blood. Now, look back at the story again in verse 14, Luke 17, verse 14. The Lord Jesus Christ always honors the law of God. In all of his life, in all of his dealings, he always honors the law of God. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, when a man was cleansed of his leprosy, you can read the reference there in Leviticus chapter 14. When a man is cleansed of his leprosy, he was to go to the priest and offer a ceremonial sacrifice unto God with those two birds. You can go back and read that. Go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. The 10 men, they started. They heard the word of the Lord. He said, you go to the priest. They said, okay, that's what we'll do. They were obedient to the Lord's command. They turned and they started walking that way. And as they went that way, cleansed. Leprosy disappeared. I mean, immediately it was gone. It was gone. These men had already been pronounced unclean by the law. But the Lord, in anticipation of the sure cure, said and commanded to go show yourself to the priest and do those things commanded under the law. And as they went that way, following the command of the Lord, they were physically made whole. I mean, that dreadful disease of leprosy, the flesh just rotting off the bones. Now the flesh was clean and white and made whole like a little child. Now here's the point. There is a blessing in obedience unto the Lord. As soon as they started toward the priest in obedience to what the Lord said, they were healed. Now you remember the story of Naaman the leper? Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'll give you the page number if you've got the Cambridge I've got. 2 Kings chapter 5 would be found on page 521 if you've got the Cambridge that I'm using. Same page. Remember the story of Naaman the Syrian? He was a leper. And no one in the city of Babylon can do anything to help him. And little maid told him about Elisha, the prophet of God, and how he had all power to heal all diseases. And we know that Elisha is a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Kings chapter 5, I got to turn one page. I'm in chapter 6. Sorry about that. Verse 9. 2 Kings 5:9, and Naaman came with his horses, page 519 rather, came with his horses. He's the captain of the army of Syria, came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha, the great prophet of God, sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. Now, sounds pretty simple. That's the word of the Lord. Go wash in Jordan 7 times, you'll be clean. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, that's his problem. He will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over this place and recover me of my leprosy. And Naaman goes on to say about the rivers of Damascus in Pharpah and Abana, are better than the waters of Israel. May not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Unclean. And a servant came near and spake to him and said, my father, if a prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, he saying to thee, wash and be clean. Verse 14. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. There is obedience. There is a blessing in obedience to the word of the Lord. And here's a point we need to remember. For our great need of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ is the remedy. The Lord always justifies sinners in a way, in a glorious way that's honoring to the very law of God. That's the glorious mystery of the gospel, how the Lord can fully honor the law of God and not at the expense of his justice and yet show mercy and justify the ungodly. how God can be both a just God and Savior in Christ. The Lord is always saving sinners in obedience to the word of the Lord, honoring the very law of God for us. There is a blessing in believing God and receiving the word of the Lord, how God saves sinners by His grace. Now here's the fourth thing I want us to look at. Back at our story, verse 15 and 16. And one of them, verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. Now, he turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. He knew his healing was of the Lord. Fell down on his face at the Lord's feet, glorifying God, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a sinner. Nine men went their way after they were physically healed, back to the law, back to the priest, back to the ceremonies of religion, back to religious bondage. Only one stranger, it says there in verse 18, one stranger, only one sinner, one Samaritan returned to honor God, to worship God, and to glorify God. One of them did not go back to the law. One of them did not go back to the Old Testament priest. He returned to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and owned Him as his great high priest who had somewhat to offer. He offered up His own blood for us. You see, there's just one way of salvation, and that one way is the Lord Jesus Christ. One sinner came to the one mediator. This one sinner came to the one and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed time it must have been. This Samaritan worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ as God, giving Him thanks, giving Him glory for the salvation of his soul. This is a good indicator, is it not, that God had done a work of grace in his heart. And we can also see that this is a good indicator in our heart. When we worship God in the Spirit, when we rejoice in Christ Jesus, when we have no confidence in the flesh, it's a good indicator when we give God all the honor and glory in our salvation. When we say with David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, in whom shall I fear?" This one strange Samaritan, this one sinner, fell at the Lord's feet in worship and adoration, giving Him all the glory, giving Him thanks. And the Lord says this, verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? 10 men were cleansed physically. But where are the 9? Where'd they go? They didn't return to give Him thanks. They didn't return to give Him worship. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this one stranger. This one stranger. This man was no stranger to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's one of those sheep chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And the Lord was on the trail of His sheep and He found him. And He made him whole and He cleansed him. Where are the 9 others? Now, did the Lord know where they were? The Lord is all-knowing. He never asks a question for find out information. Known unto God are all things from the beginning. He knows all things. When the Lord asked Adam, fallen and sinful, "Adam, where art thou?" God knew where he was. God knew what Adam had done. 9 men were healed of this dreadful disease that day, but they did not have enough sense to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as God their healer. As God their healer. They did not give thanks. They did not worship. But notice carefully, this one sinner did, and the Scripture said he was a Samaritan. Down in verse 9, it says he was a stranger. And the Lord said to him, in verse 19. And the Lord said to him, arise. You remember he was at the Lord's feet in worship and adoration. The Lord lifted him up. He lifted him up and blessed him. He said, arise. He said, go thy way. What way was he to go? The way of salvation in Christ. The Lord said, I am the way, the life, the truth. Now, this way of this one Samaritan, this one stranger, is the way of grace, the way of salvation in Christ. Now, watch this. Go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath saved thee. Now, this man had a new way to follow, didn't he? He never forgot the Lord Jesus Christ. He worshiped him all the days of his life, always looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, thy faith made thee whole. Now we know that faith, where did this man get this kind of faith? It didn't bloom in the heart of those other nine men. Faith was sovereignly given to this one sinner who was justified by the grace of God. Thy faith made thee whole. Faith is not our Savior, nor our righteousness before God. Faith does not accomplish salvation, does it? Faith doesn't accomplish salvation. Faith recognizes who did accomplish salvation. Faith does not accomplish salvation. Faith, the saving faith of God's elect, receives the Lord Jesus Christ, who did accomplish all our salvation. Brother Nybert used to always say, salvation is not received by doing. Salvation is received by believing. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is that precious gift of God. The precious gift of God. Faith is the empty hand that receives the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the hand that performs salvation. It's the hand that reaches out and receives the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is a result of eternal life being already bestowed upon you by the mighty hand of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, he's already born of God. The reason you believe the gospel is because God has given you life in Christ. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. True faith, the faith of God's elect, loves the Lord Jesus Christ, submits to him, worships him, and gives him, as this man did, giving him all the honor and glory for the salvation of our soul. Now, here's an important question for every one of you to consider. Are you like those nine men who had religion, who had a religious experience, and went on their merry way? Or are you like that one sinner, that one Samaritan, who bowed to the Lord? There are many in the Lord's day who touched his body who were never touched by him. There were many who knew his power to heal the body who never knew his power of grace to heal their soul. There were many who ate the loaves and fishes, those 5,000 men, who ate the loaves and fishes who never ate the bread of life, never tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you been made a new creature in Christ? To you who believe the Lord Jesus Christ, to you who believe the Lord Jesus Christ is altogether lovely, to you who believe he is precious, may God grant us faith. I don't want to be just religious and cleaned up. Now I've reformed my life. Well, okay. I want to be found in Christ, be made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy faith made thee whole. Saving faith always looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got a few minutes left here. I want all of us to turn to this scripture and let's read it together. In Ephesians chapter 2, saving faith is always taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this one sinner experienced. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers, there's that stranger from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in this world, but now. You with me? Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, unclean, far off, now are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, who hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh, read on, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, verse 19, now therefore, you are no more strangers. We're no more strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. No more strangers. One time without God and without hope and without Christ. But now we have fellowship. Now we're fellow citizens with the saints and in the household of God. That's what that one leper experienced. Salvation in his heart, in his soul.